In April, we are in exploration mode, featuring a menu of spring summer beverages shared by Cisco Larson, interviewed by Jeannie Tabor. Cisco is the general manager of Joe's Wines and Liquors in Midtown Memphis. Whether the weather says so or not, the original cocktails he has lined up for us all say it's spring.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Tabor, and I have the pleasure today of talking to Cisco Larson of Joe's Wines and Liquors. So I am so excited to listen and explore what great wines and beers and cocktails that Cisco brought to the literal table today at our podcast.
Yeah, Jeannie, thanks for having me. I love coming in and talking with you all about all the fun stuff we have. We've got stuff from all over the world. You really inspired me with the explore theme. And so I just kind of ran wild with it. And so I hope that that's okay with you. We're starting with a true exploratory beverage, which is Madeira. What do you know about Madeira? Have you ever heard of it?
I have heard of it, but I know very little. So
okay.
Tell me what it is.
Great. So Madeira is a fortified wine like port, like sherry, like Madeira. That's the third one that I think of. But the difference is Madeira is made a different way. So the port, sherry are both fortified. Madeira is also matterized, which is a term that is named after Madeira for oxidized.
Okay.
So your bottle, unlike your bottle of port or your bottle of sherry, your bottle of Madeira never goes bad. So okay. You can buy a bottle, just like your bottle of bourbon, and you can open it up a week later or a year later, and it's still in the same shape that it was when you first tried it.
I love that. My father-in-law thinks that's the same for wines. We've had to sort of encourage him that it's not like that.
Yeah. Some people have never had a bottle that's survived that long, but many, you know, will push the boundaries. But that's actually how Madeira came to be. So it's an archipelago off of Portugal, actually closer to Morocco, that during exploration, ships stopped at the island of Madeira. It was the last stop before the colonies, so they could pick up wine. It's not huge, but there was wine there. The wine wasn't great, but it was drinkable. There was one cask especially that was so bad that it made it to the colonies and back, and they returned it. They actually returned the cask
hilarious.
Of wine. If you think about it, like sailors in the 1600s, 1700s, returning a cask of wine, it must have been truly atrocious.
Indeed.
But what they found was this wine was oxidized. It had been on the ship the whole time, and they were like, actually, this is pretty good. This might be better than the stuff we're already giving them in the first place.
Oh, funny.
And so that's the first miracle of Madeira. The second is them then fortifying it with a neutral spirit. The ones that I brought today are from Enriquez and Enriquez, and they have been producing Madeira since the mid-1800s. There's not a lot of land on the island of Madeira. It's really small. These folks source from different producers. They have pretty high standards, though. The rules of Madeira are kind of shaky. They're not like really intense bourbon rules where it says, like, right. If it says this, it must be this. But that's what the H&H family believes. They think if it says 10 years, everything in there has to be 10 years. But then it could be older than 10 years as well. So I've got a bottle of Sercial and Boal 10-year-old Madeira, and we're just going to give them a try right now.
Oh, good. I'm
just
so
to get
excited.
It started. Do we get the cork on there? Yeah.
When I think of port, I think of after dinner drink. Is this drunk in the same fashion, or is it
exactly
different?
Yeah, I find this is a really great bourbon substitute.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
So it's like a great transition for bourbon drinkers, because some people drink port and they're like, this is so sweet. I would only drink it every now and then. Cheers.
Cheers. Okay, that's good. It
yeah.
does. I taste a port. I definitely taste a similarity to that, but not as sweet or syrupy.
Yeah, there's like a nuttiness there. Mm-hmm. There's all types of other stuff I could tell you about it, like how there's a red grape, there's one red grape, there's four white grapes. These are two of the white grapes. Sercial is the driest, and they increase in sweetness. Boal is the next level, Malvasia. But they're all really fun and like a great after-dinner drink. The Sercial is kind of on the dry side. You get to the Boal, I think that would be more like a dessert one.
And you said these are the white varietals. Mm-hmm. Do the red varietals look different?
They look shockingly the same.
And do they taste any much different?
For sure. The white grapes are higher quality grapes.
Okay.
Is the big difference. So you'll see Rainwater Madeira, which has its own really cool story, like 20 really cool stories that maybe all of them or none of them are true. And then they've got 5-year-old stuff, they have 10-year-old. They have older stuff. They have these people make a lot of like vintage stuff. So if you wanted one from your birth year, you could have.
That's fun. Okay.
If you visit Madeira, you will find a bottle of your birth year Madeira and you can drink it there on the island.
But do you guys have a pretty wide variety? Could I come to Joe's and find mine?
For sure. Yeah. So these are on the shelf today. These H&H Enriquez and Enriquez Madeiras, they're $48.99 for the 10-year-old stuff, okay. But they have entry level ones around $20, $25 is like the Rainwater and the 5-year-old Tinta Negra, the red grape. Mm-hmm. So very fun.
Before you move on, so you said this could be kind of a nice transition. So if you're drinking bourbon as a cocktail, do you introduce this with food almost like a wine, or do you wait till after dinner and it becomes the after dinner traditional?
So in the spirit of exploring, I really like to throw this out like when we're all looking at when there's like a charcuterie board or like just a tray full of crackers and meats and cheeses and stuff, you know, it's like that's when you bring this out and it's like something to talk about or just something fun to drink that pairs well with the board. I think it's fun to talk about when people are like, oh, cool, this is like the wine I like. It's also like the bourbon that I drink.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
Very serviceable. And once again, you can bring it out for a party in this April, and then you can bring it out for a party in fall or for Christmas.
I could give it to my father-in-law and bring it out in 10 years.
Yes, exactly. You're like, oh yeah, I remember that Christmas from 10 years ago. Now I have grandkids that can almost drink it. So Madeira is fun to explore. Also, St. Bernardus, which is a Belgian brewery, they make some really, really awesome Abbey-style beers. But the one I brought was inspired by you, Jeannie, because you said, let's do some things that are really about exploring. So they have one that's called their Watou, mm-hmm. W-A-T-O-U, Tokyo Belgian Wit Ale. This is a beer. They brewed this one just to go with the cuisine of Tokyo. They only sold it in the Tokyo Brew Pub forever until just recently. They've released it in 12-ounce cans for you and me to enjoy.
Oh.
This St. Bernardus Watou Belgian Wit pairs awesome with Takashi Bistro or any of your other awesome sushi or Japanese-inspired cuisine that you can find.
That's fun. What would you say that's most similar to for people who love beer and you would want to encourage them to try it?
That's great. This is really similar to a Blue Moon.
Blue Moon.
Yeah, okay. So this
orange slice.
Yeah, and that's a great way to serve this too, especially if there's some citrus involved in the meal. You squeeze an orange slice in there and serve it in like one of those tall beer steins or whatever. It's really great.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that they've brought to us is actually from Poland. I love their Baltic Porter. This is Komes, K-O-M-E-S. And they are a Polish brewery, our first Polish brewery. And they've got some really good stuff, award-winning Baltic Porter, which being on the Baltic, they're really the first one for us to have. This is also their raspberry porter, which has been the best selling so far.
Interesting.
So as far as seasonal stuff goes, their porter, their Baltic porter, the raspberry porter, that feels like the end of winter.
Right.
Into spring, which is kind of like this Belgian wit ale, like a Blue Moon. You drink it and watch the sun on your porch and
exactly.
Hang out.
So how raspberry is that? How much do you taste the raspberry?
It's
pretty faint or is it pretty strong?
It's real because they're using real raspberry juice in it. And it's got this kind of like, it's not dessert though. It's not like a sweet beer because they're making it with vanilla and chili peppers. So it's the chili peppers, you don't get like a ton of that spice from it, but I feel like it rounds it out really well.
Okay. I'm getting a pizza vibe. What would you pair that with?
If you're putting like, if you love your awesome red pepper flakes
exactly.
on top of that.
And
yeah.
a little hot honey, that kind of
the hot honey vibe is like Hog and Hominy has a really great pizza that goes
with that's exactly
that.
What I was thinking of.
Also, Aldo's has like a Willie Cheech and Bob pizza that would probably be really good with that. That's got peppers. So those are great. The next thing that we have, we've got some wine. This is Sun Goddess Pinot Grigio Ramato. It is, you know, Pinot Grigio.
I do. Okay. I do. Mm-hmm.
So Pinot Grigio is super popular, but it's a lot of people drink it as like a water version of wine.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this is. This is Ramato style, which
got a little more oomph to it.
Yeah,
and flavor.
And this is like almost rosé color.
It is,
but they're making it from Pinot Grigio.
Okay.
So you're like, how does that work? Well, the grapes are actually gray or pinkish. Okay. So if they leave the juice on the skins for a while, it absorbs some of that color and also some of the flavor too. So it's not sweet. It's got like this very dry finish. The cool thing about Sun Goddess is it is actually a celebrity wine. So I won't be caught endorsing a lot of celebrity wines because most of them aren't great. But this is from Mary J. Blige.
Oh, that's fun. Is that her right there?
That's
on the
her
cover?
Face. Okay. What looks like a record and a beautiful Sun Goddess.
Super cool.
She was nominated for Best Supporting Actress for the movie Mudbound, which is about black sharecroppers in the Delta, which... and the reason why this is exploration is because it's a new style of Pinot Grigio. It's from Friuli, where people have had Pinot Gris from all the time. But this is a new style and something fun to check out and put on some Mary J. Blige and just
absolutely.
Enjoy.
So it looks like a rosé, like you pointed out. Does it taste more like a rosé? Is it a cross between that and a Pinot Grigio or no?
It's really like, it's actually closer to somewhere between Pinot Grigio and red wine than it is rosé. I think
interesting.
It's got fruit. It's got a little bit of tannin and it's very dry.
Mm. Oh, I want to try that. That sounds really good.
Really pleasant. I absolutely enjoy it.
What food would you encourage people to pair that with?
So it's aperitif style. Like you want to drink it on your porch, hanging out with the extra hours of daylight savings time
exactly.
that we were talking about as we bask in the sun in the studio. The I think some good pairings for that, you could find some harder cheeses or like vodka sauce pasta would be really nice. Just like noodles and onions and garlic and vodka sauce. And that would be really good.
Sounds like a good thing for today because we're feeling spring. We're trying to dress spring, but the weather's not totally cooperating. Maybe you don't want that heavy red that you've been enjoying all winter by the fire. Might be kind of a nice transition of a little bit of both.
Yeah. And I feel like it's always just up here.
Yeah.
That's where it is. And it's like, if you put the vibes out, then you're definitely going to receive the reward of spring in some way. Even if you're inside in the heat,
right.
Looking at the sun outside.
Looking at your cherry tree or whatever's blooming out there.
Yeah. Which started blooming 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah. So I feel like that's a really fun bottle of wine that I love introducing people to. And I hardly ever even tell them it has to do with Mary J. Blige because they're already putting it in their basket beforehand. And
right.
it's a really good wine. Hopefully they find out at some point.
Yeah.
So then you were like, hey, Cisco, how about some cocktails to explore? And so I started thinking about like, what are some great ways to talk about different cocktails? What would be good for spring? What would be good for summer? What do I want to drink today? What do I want to drink next week? What do we want to put in our glass? But I also was motivated by like, what have I already bought from the fall? Like, what do I have left from the winter and from the holidays and stuff? And so I got to thinking about all the little bitters bottles. Do you
mm-hmm.
have these lying
I
around
do.
The house?
I
okay.
Do.
So these, the bottles of Angostura and Regans and Peychaud's, those are all the bottles that make it through the holidays. And you're like, okay, but like I have most of this bottle left. How do I keep using
this? Oh, I love this. Yeah.
Right, because it's...
Don't waste things. I love
yeah,
that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You're upcycling it from your old fashioned.
Cool.
So the cocktail that I found was this Stonefence cocktail. And there's an adaptation by Janai Angel, who's the owner of Pretty Magic Cocktails in New Orleans, and which does like... Kind of like Morgan McKinney here, she does cocktail classes and does stuff on her Instagram and creates recipes just for special events and will bartend special events, but is also a bartender at Bar Tonique in New Orleans. And so her quote is, cocktails are not just drinks, they're a form of self-expression. And you really get that with some of the cocktails that she puts on her Instagram. I happen to bring one of these cocktails ready to go.
Lovely.
I just need to add one of the fun parts to it. Okay,
okay.
So this...
What are we adding?
We're adding yuzu ginger cider from Shaxbury up in Vermont.
Oh, cool.
So this cocktail is usually made with rum or with cognac, but she decided to use rye whiskey in it. So if you have whiskey left over throughout the holidays, this is great. You have all your bitters. So it's got 1.5 ounces of rye whiskey. It's got 2 dashes of Angostura, 2 dashes of Peychaud's, and 1 dash of orange bitters. Then you add 2 or 3 ounces of apple cider. And I think this yuzu ginger has been one of our favorites that we got in the past few months. So I figured
Fun. Wait, is that alcoholic or no?
It is. Okay. Yeah. So we carry like 70 different ciders in the store, and I've been drinking cider a lot more recently, just with the way that with beer affects me. I've found cider works a lot better. It's gluten free and and I sometimes just feel better the next day when I've had a couple ciders. And now, you know, craft beer is pretty creative, but the cider folks are the same. They're the same mad scientists in the lab working on really fun stuff. And so this Shaxbury Yuzu Ginger is a really great addition to this cocktail. Don't let it overflow.
Oh, you gave me a good pour there, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. But it's mostly cider.
Okay.
All right.
Mmm. Okay, that is delicious.
That's nice.
That's really nice. I'm not a huge cocktail fan, but that almost tastes like a bubbly, or I don't know, but it has a little bit of a different feel than just a solid cocktail.
Yeah, and I've also brought a shaker that just mixed itself on the way over here. Because we were talking about Madeira earlier, I was thinking we'd make a version with Madeira instead of rye whiskey.
Of this cocktail we just had? Is now the one with Madeira.
Right, we're going to put a little bit of cider in this one again and see how it turns out. I think that it'll be welcome, but I was really inspired by Janai on how to kind of like innovate your own cocktail. Cheers
again. Yum.
That's pretty good. I almost feel like I like it more, but I did make it up, so I'm pretty biased. So that was the Stone Fence cocktail. I'm going to add that to our website as well with a link to this podcast so that you can find both of the cocktail recipes we're going to talk about. The other one is, you were talking about how it's a mindset, you know, how it's spring and summer mindset.
Yes.
And so this other one is from a bar in Los Angeles where you know, spring and summer are the mindset all the time.
Right.
And so this bartender, Liam Odian from Playa Provisions in Playa Del Rey, L.A., came up with this. When I was looking at his Instagram, he was like, okay, this is it. This is the one. I'm done. I don't need to come up with further cocktails.
This is his cocktail.
Yes. Okay. This is what it feels like, his masterpiece. It's called the Poblano Colada. So Imbibe is a really great cocktail magazine. They do some long format stuff. They do short pieces. Like they had a really good piece with Janai and Jell in there. And then they featured also this Poblano Colada from Liam. This one is the summer cocktail that I feel like I'm going to make a lot. And so with these, I don't want to pick stuff that's like either really expensive to make or like you have to buy 5 ingredients that all cost $50.
Yes.
Yeah. This should be, cocktails at home should be economic in financially and for a home bartender.
Right.
Because you want it to be fun. You don't want to have to put 12 ingredients together at home. That's why you go to a bar.
Right. Good point.
So the last one featured a lot of stuff you might already have at home. This one is new stuff, but all ingredients that you should be pretty familiar with, except for the star of the show, which is this Ancho Reyes Verde Chile Poblano liqueur, which is cool. It's Mexican from Zaragoza. They make another Ancho Reyes dark chili liqueur, but this Verde is obviously what gives this a really nice pop. Mm-hmm. It's 1.5 ounces of Ancho Reyes Verde, 1.5 ounces of pineapple juice, 1 ounce of Coco Lopez, cream of coconut, and 1/2 ounce of fresh lime juice, and 1/8 ounce or 1 dash of absinthe. So it's got like these awesome, what do you think of when you hear those ingredients there?
Oh, it almost sounds like a piña colada.
Yeah, that is definitely what I get
but
from
maybe
this.
Cooler and a little less sweet.
Yeah. I think that's like you have a pina colada and you drink it and you're like,
it feels like dessert a tiny bit, right?
Yeah. And this, because you have the chile liqueur in there and then you have the absinthe, mm-hmm. I feel like it brings it back into balance from that one side of sweeter dessert drink that you drink during the day to something that's more balanced and you could drink anytime.
Remind me, is absinthe like licorice? I can't remember. What's the flavor? Is that right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anise or licorice, whatever you call it. And then you just top it with a orange slice and like a handful of mint.
Yum.
Really makes it refreshing. And I feel like this is like an Energizer Bunny's like pina colada.
I love that. Well, you talked at some point about not being wasteful, having ingredients that can be used in different seasons, etc. Tell me a little bit more about this liqueur. I've not heard of a poblano chili liqueur before. Is that something that's pretty versatile, or is this kind of just you'll keep it for this one cocktail and it'll last you the summer?
Yeah, so I think you can add it to a margarita and without. So a lot of people will do like a. I'll be on the river and see like infused like bottles of Casamigos with jalapenos shoved in them, and I'm like, that is a dangerous game you're playing. But instead of doing that, yes, in so many ways. Instead of that, this is you just add a dash of this poblano chile liqueur to it and to a margarita. And it's got a little bit of sweetness, but it's still 80 proof. So it'll add all the spice you want without usually going overboard. And you just add a half ounce of it to a margarita. And I think that's pretty great. There's a lot of other cool things to do with it. And the other recipe, the Stone Fence cocktail that we were talking about, is a great inspiration for exploring. Just like this, like when I think of the Negroni cocktail, when it comes to winter, I change out the gin for bourbon because I want the darker side. I want a little more spice. I might put some rye in there. I don't see why you can't put this into a part of that cocktail and make it your own, where you're taking away maybe the bitter side, a little less Campari, and adding some chili to it, but also you could put it in your Stone Fence cocktail and just make it a spicy version of that. I think that's the cool thing. It's a modifier. It's not as intense as absinthe. That's why you've got an eighth of an ounce of absinthe, a dash of absinthe, and an ounce and a half of Ancho Reyes. It's not as intense. The heat is there, but you can use it as a tequila substitute as well. And I think there's a ton of fun ways to play.
It sounds like it. Okay. That sounds like another good addition for the bar.
Yeah.
For spring.
So that's what we're exploring today. And I hope that we've been on enough journeys on this podcast today.
I think so. I've had a lot of fun and several drinks and enjoyed so much hanging out with Cisco. We've got to do this again in the evening so we can really dive into all of this.
I know, we'll have much taller pores at that point.
Yes, but thank you for helping us to explore some new items that we can add to our bar. And as you say, the extra hour we have on our patio now, we have some interesting, exciting new things to try. Thank you so much. I hope you'll come back again soon.
Thanks so much, Jeannie. I hope to be back.
Bye.